Katrina has left many different things as her heritage. Mud, muck, mire, contamination and disease, death and destruction. In those days immediately after the slap by wind and wave, by flood and fury, the thing that seemed to bring it all home, to bring home the reality of it all, was the lines of people. Whether outside a shelter or a Red Cross or Salvation Army vehicle, there were lines of people waiting for food, waiting for water, waiting for help, any help. And in an airport transformed into a MASH unit hospital, row upon row of patients waited for medicine, for medical attention, and some for just a few words of comfort in their dying moments. Routines and necessities, though small and insignificant, mushroomed with urgency in a dysfunctional Superdome hotel or a spare Astrodome inn. And as the images of these lines of people fade from the screens of television and our minds, we seem to have forgotten that we are in a line, that we have forgotten that other line, a line that began with only two and has multiplied countless times since, a line that is recorded in the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis, the written account of Adam's line. What begins as a family tree is revealed to be nothing more than a long obituary column. 10 generations of longevity from Adam to Noah, and then it soon becomes monotonous. Each was born, each lived, each had children, and then in each case, it closes with the simple words, "He died." And for all the progress made ever since then, the obituary column hasn't really changed. Perhaps a few more words are used, but the ending is always the same. He died. She died. You know the story and the cause, as St. Paul tells us. Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. You know this story, I'm quite sure, not because it's Adam's story that you learned in Sunday school, but because it is your biography and my biography. You and I are in that line. We are on that death march. We are in the obituary column, and it's all our own fault. It's because of our sin, the large ones as well as the little ones, those hidden for years and those revealed to public scrutiny. Go back to Genesis 5, though, to that dismal record driving us to despair and defeat, and note the pattern. He died. He died. He died. And then look at verse 24. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. If there is any mystery in that sentence, there is at least this one fact. The death march can be broken. And it was. What took place on a mountain on a hill outside Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago would seem as if our Lord had merely taken his place along with all the dying humanity lined up and listed in the generations of Adam, except for this one fact. Christ Jesus took our place, not his own. He took the place of all the dying men and women in every generation, the burden of their guilt as well as ours. The total penalty of sin was loaded on Christ's shoulders as he walked the crossroad. He died their death as well as yours and mine. He suffered death to halt death, the death march of humanity. And if you look closely at that cross on Golgotha's hill and at the garden's empty tomb, you'll see there at the very head of the list, the very head of the line, Prophet Isaiah, along with his record of all of God's promises. You'll see Isaiah pointing to the mountain of the Lord, where the Lord Almighty destroyed the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations, where the Lord swallowed up death forever. And there on that promised mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich foods for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. And in the presence of his enemies, his defeated enemies, Christ has prepared this feast for his guests, for you and for me. The wine is poured to the brim. The platters are full for the guest list that has been proclaimed for years ago to come. Tears are wiped away. Disgrace is removed. And all of this, we have God's promise on all of it. Isaiah has told us those promises. It has already happened in Christ Jesus, who has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And the Lord's Supper that we celebrated yesterday and each time is but a foretaste of that promised feast to come. And perhaps you have noticed, from the day of our baptism onward, it is not so much a line that we are in as it is a parade, an Easter parade, going through every days of our lives. It is a sunrise procession up the mountain, going through the daily routine as much as through the cemetery, through health as through sickness, a procession raucous with the words of Isaiah, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." To be sure, now we wait, not in a line, but in an Easter parade of resurrection joy and confidence. But on that day, on the day of the Lord, well then, as we shall sing at the very conclusion of our service in that hymn, then thine the glory in the night. No more dying, only light. Thine the river, thine the tree, then the Lamb eternally. Then the holy, holy, holy celebration jubilee. Then the splendor, then the brightness, only thee, only thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.